Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Patrick Finley, Assistant Director of the FBI's Facilities and Logistics Services Division. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Bouthrop. So, Pat, before we delve into specifics, I'd like to understand better your strategic vision and, more importantly, your top priorities for FBI's Facilities and Logistics Services Division. Would you give us a brief overview of those top priorities and tell us a little bit about your strategic vision?
Okay, sure. Thanks, Mike. I'm going to overlay that on what the FBI has established. It's a great strategy management system, and it's been gradually building over the last several years. It's a relatively standard approach across the enterprise that really links all together as it was part of the director's strategy. So we take these diverse mission and mission support elements that are all linked together in an overall strategy for the agency. Our part of that is we have three primary objectives, and that's provide mission essential, secure work environment and facilities, promote safety and environmental stewardship, and provide responsive logistics and services. And we overlay all of that, do so with a very cost-efficient, disciplined utilization of our resources. It really all fits together very well. Literally everything we do is related very directly to that. And then we have specific initiatives we'll talk about a little bit later on that cause us to be able to achieve those objectives.
Well, why don't we actually, as a follow-up, could you describe some of those key initiatives and some of the strategies you're using to pursue some of your priorities?
Okay, sure. What we do is taking those very high-level objectives, we, as we term it, cascade those down into specific initiatives and actions that will achieve that objective. And so I'm just going to cover a few of them. But a primary one is to very efficiently use space. Our lease space, as we'll get into also in a little bit, and all of our space, it's very expensive. It's very secure. We want to use that very efficiently and get that at the very best possible cost to the taxpayer. So that's really a key initiative of how we are better utilizing that space now than maybe we were in the past. And also to achieve the mission objectives, security obviously, but also good collaboration between our many diverse teams that are working in that space. Another major initiative is to increase the professionalism and analytical ability of our workforce, and we're doing that through a variety of means, one of which is really well supported by the Bureau. We have a university education program, and promising candidates are able to compete for a fully funded university education. It's off duty while a person works a regular work week. But so a person needs to be very committed to using their time to pursue this education. Obviously, we're recruiting for the right people for the skills that we need for the future. We're really increasing the professionalism and analytical ability of our workforce through training, university education, and specialized recruiting, very closely looking at what the skill set we need for the future and going out and seeking that either through training, education, or recruitment. Third initiative is really focusing our investments and the permanent and core infrastructure of the FBI. We are in lease facilities. Leases expire. Typically, those will not be a core permanent infrastructure. An example of some permanent infrastructure would be the FBI complex and campus at Quantico, where we now have the training academy, the laboratory, and two other divisions.
Pat, earlier you spoke about mission expansion at the FBI post 9/11. As the FBI's mission has evolved since 9/11 and given heightened security concerns, how has your function evolved to meet the security issues, and what are some of the unique issues faced in supporting today's FBI?
Which was a little bit of a surprise for me, even coming from the Department of Defense, every FBI employee has a top secret clearance. In defense, if you needed it, you had it. Otherwise, you had a secret or a confidential clearance. With every FBI employee having a top secret clearance and to promote the greatest interaction of people, much of our space is set up that you can openly discuss very classified information within with your counterparts and can go from office to office with that information. So it really is to promote collaboration and information sharing. That has very unique implications for your space, as you have to build that space and carefully secure it and accredit that space so that that very sensitive classified information can be openly discussed, transmitted, processed, and collaborated on. Probably the biggest single change in that area in the FBI is that prior to 9/11, most of our information was much more at the secret level. Post 9/11, with the intelligence agencies really operating at the top secret level, there has been a gigantic expansion of that top secret connectivity, telephones, and information sharing, and then the consequent facilities impacts of all that. Today, anywhere in the intelligence community, if your space is accredited to the top secret level, any member of the U.S. intelligence community could utilize that space for whatever information or mission that they're working on. In almost every FBI location, we have three different IT systems. You have an unclassified system, you have a secret system, and you have a top secret system. Not everyone has the same three, but they're present in many, many locations. So that then results in much more heat load in our space. A standard commercial space would have to have supplemental cooling to be able to house so many computers in such a small space.
Pat, from your perspective, can you talk about what state-of-the-art information technology looks like to support facilities and logistics, and what gaps are yet to be addressed?
Okay, I'll talk just briefly on that. The facilities and logistics IT really falls under the broad umbrella of the FBI IT systems, and we're moving forward exceptionally rapidly with a financial management system across the Bureau that one of your previous guests from the FBI, Rich Haley, spoke about. That's in its final stages and is very exciting. With that, we are having modules that will address property accountability, vehicle fleet, and many other aspects. And so that's really exciting. It's moving forward as we speak.
How would you compare leading the FBI's FLSD with similar organizations in government or the commercial space? And what do you do to benchmark the performance of your division compared with industry standards and leadership?
Okay, well, first, overall, there's more similarities than differences. Obviously, we're very similar to other intelligence agencies in the federal government. The biggest difference I've covered is that the security aspects that overlays everything we do is probably the primary difference that we would have as compared with, say, other federal agencies here in D.C. Really utilize the private sector for most everything that we provide, and our business practices are ultimately based upon private sector business practices. A lot of similarities, but the security as well as the federal acquisition rules limit a direct comparison. In every one of our functional areas, we seek to have a metric, in some cases going directly to the private sector metrics, in other cases starting with those private sector metrics and then making an adjustment that, well, we have to do something. It requires 30 days of advertisement per the federal acquisition regulations. So we start with what the industry is doing and then modify accordingly where appropriate, so that we still have a good foundation for the metric as it applies to us in our little bit different circumstance.
So, Pat, given the significant fiscal and economic pressures that the country faces, most federal agencies have embarked on a cost-cutting or cost-constraint efforts. Since your area is one of mission support, I'm assuming there are certain efforts that you're pursuing as well. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, and actually, Michael, this is very coincidental, but I'm just recently sending out an all-employee email of their particular role in exactly that. If I may, just to kind of talk about the FBI's budget a little bit. FBI has roughly an $8 billion budget. Roughly half of that is compensation benefits for employees. We're a thinking organization. After that, the other half is largely spent on infrastructure support to make people most effective in what they do. And I have about a fourth of that remaining. So in really every single area, we are pursuing efficiency measures. And one of the things with all of our real estate and space is we're looking very closely at the utilization of that, how we can use that better, good metrics for space utilization, and also cost of space. What is that costing us? Upfront costs for the construction and securing of it, and the annual costs through rents. So we have really an excellent handle on what those costs are. Then that's one area where vehicle fleet, we do an exhaustive study on mileage of vehicles, maintenance history, number of years that a vehicle can stay in the fleet, all really to minimize that cost and get the greatest value for the taxpayer's dollar in every area.
And so I'd like to switch gears a bit and talk about, one thing is a strategic document you put out or was put out, the 10-year field operation acquisition plan. But more particularly, I'd like to know about the consolidated FBI HQ project as well.
Sure. Let me hit both of those. First, they have both been really great collaborations with GSA and the private sector. In fact, underlying all of these initiatives is private sector funding. To touch on the field office program, post 9/11, the FBI was expanding. It was organizing joint terrorism task forces, field intelligence groups, a very large national security presence in those very sensitive facilities across the country. At first, there was no space in existing locations to house those teams together, so your most critical teams were actually not housed, co-located with the rest of your missions, and really caused great operational issues. So the field office program was to consolidate those teams and providing a very secure, collaborative space where all those team members could work closely together. We started that in 2004, got 33 projects approved out of 56 field division headquarters across the country after having assessed that several of them were adequately sized and secured. And we've completed 27 of those projects now. So it's been a great partnership with the private sector and GSA, and it's been had a greatly positive mission impact. The proposed consolidated FBI headquarters actually has many similarities. It will use the private sector as the source of funding. It also seeks to consolidate many separated headquarters locations we have here in the D.C. area. And it's a great partnership, again, with GSA and the private sector. There was a request for information that had been put out a few weeks back, and there was an industry forum some weeks thereafter, maybe a month back now. The RFI was very well received, the request for information, and the industry day was well attended. I think 400 people came. So we're really wanting to get the ideas of the private sector of what is the best way to do that, but GSA Administrator Tom Gerlini has also been on this program, has really championed the concept of considering the use of real property exchange for the very expensive and valuable space on Pennsylvania Avenue, where we're now located, in exchange for our new site and building. And so one aspect of the project how would the private sector monetize the value for the federal government's benefit of the current location?
How's the FBI pursuing more sustainable business and supply chain practices? We will ask Patrick Finley, Assistant Director of the FBI's Facilities and Logistics Services Division, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.